The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. Let's jump right in with this one from Family Circle, Your Home's Hotspot. The kitchen is the center of your family's universe. It's where meals are eaten, bills are paid, homework is completed, and lost things are found. iPhone cord, shin guards, check the junk drawer. Make it work even harder for your whole family with these smart organizing ideas. First, create a calendar. A central calendar is a must, whether you prefer digital or physical. Whatever's best for mom is best for the whole family, says Marissa Hagmeyer, co-owner of the national luxury organizing company Neat Method. If you prefer physical, put your calendar in a central spot like the fridge. To be truly functional, it has to be where people are, says Amy Tokos, a certified professional organizer and productivity consultant for Freshly Organized in Omaha, Nebraska. Use color coding to distinguish between kid-only and whole family activities, and have everyone add in their own event. When anyone has a scheduling question, direct them to check the calendar. If you prefer digital, create a shared cloud-based calendar. Use the app on your phone or try Cozy Family Organizer, available on Android and iOS, free. It'll send reminders and show you activities at a glance, color-coded by person. Google Calendar, also available on Android, iOS, and web, free, is also great for sharing schedules. Toko says a shared family calendar can be especially great good tool for divorced parents since it creates a reliable, conflict-free communication hub. Once a week, and Sundays are good, gather the family for a quick talk about the week ahead. Run through after-school activities, which days the kids might miss dinner or need to buy lunch, any school projects that require supplies, and what you have going on at work travel-wise. This doesn't have to be formal. I do it, and my kids have no idea it's happening, but it's the crux of being prepared for the week, says Tokos. Bonus, your kids' tendency to procrastinate won't ruin your week. Next, share your grocery list. Encourage your kids to participate in planning for the week ahead. This is an opportunity for teens, not mom, to be responsible for making sure the pantry's stocked with their favorite protein bars or checking to see if there's milk. Plus, it lets the shopper off the hook for forgetting things. If they don't add it, they can't complain. There's plenty of food. I'm sure they'll survive, says Tokos. Look for free grocery apps the family can share. This'll save you from those texted requests while you're on your way out of the supermarket parking lot. We like List Ease and Our Groceries. Our Groceries is a straight-up shopping apps. They have the best cross-platform features, in case you have an iPhone and your kids have Androids. Plus, they help you keep an inventory of your pantry and send you reminders when items are running low. Another way to go is Google Keep, available on Android, iOS, and web for free. It has family sharing options, but isn't grocery specific. So you can use it for other shopping, packing, and to-do lists. From Real Simple, how to build savings at every age. Maybe retirement seems like a distant dream. Maybe it's just a few years away. Either way, you're going to want to put it on today's to-do list. First, saving for the future may feel like a drag. Our brains naturally prioritize the here and now. Psychologists call this present bias. And research shows that saving is especially hard when you think of time as one super long stretch, says Brad Klontz, PSYD, a certified financial planner and founder of the Financial Psychology Institute. So stop. Instead of picturing retirement as some far-off finish line, approach it as a series of checkpoints. When you have 30 or more years to go, you got to get started. Aim to put 5 to 6% of your pre-tax income toward retirement, which typically gets you the match from your employer, and another 5 to 6% into short-term savings so you don't dip into your retirement account when a curveball hits. With every raise or paid-off student loan, try to increase those percentages until the accounts are getting at least 15% combined of your earnings, says Katie Waters, a certified financial planner and the founder of Stable Waters Financial, based in Athens, Georgia. Once your emergency fund is built up to 3 to 6 months of living expenses, put the whole 15% toward your retirement account. Just starting out, investing even $50 a month will make retirement savings a habit. And the earlier you start, the longer compound interest can work in your favor. Let's say you have $5,000 to put toward retirement. If you invest it with 30 years to go and get an average return, you'll end up with about $40,000 in your retirement account without your having to kick in an extra dime. When you have 20 years to go, turbocharge your savings. One-third of baby boomers have $25,000 or less stashed for retirement. But research shows that even if you're starting from scratch, you still have time to catch up. To work toward reaching the million-dollar mark in two decades, researchers at the American Association of Individual Investors say you should max out your 401k and take advantage of catch-up contributions. An extra $6,000 a year is allowed for those age 50 and older, as well as lean aggressively into stocks. You already have some momentum with your retirement accounts. Use this checkpoint to crank the dial a little higher. The average 401k participant saves about 10% each year, including employer contributions. That's nothing to sneeze at, but it's still a far cry from the 15% most experts recommend. Need to free up some cash to throw at your investment portfolio? Ask, is it time to close the bank of mom and dad for your college-age kids? Would downsizing sooner than expected make sense? Or can you beat back some of the lifestyle creep that's so common mid-career? When you have 10 years to go, paint a picture. For past generations, retirement tended to be abrupt, from full-on work to full-on leisure. Now, surveys show nearly half of pre-retirees are planning on a phased retirement, like shifting to part-time work, and nearly 20% say they want to try something new, like launching their own businesses or changing employers. The more clearly you can imagine what your retirement will look like, the more motivated you are to work toward it, says Deacon Hayes, author of You Can Retire Early. Retiring to a beach house versus launching a vacation rental side hustle will warrant different financial plans and quit your job timelines. And if you do dream of something radically different, you can spend these years building the skills for it or testing the entrepreneurial waters while still working at your day job. Stash some cash, too, says Waters. Conventional wisdom says everyone should have an emergency fund that covers 3 to 6 months of essential living expenses. You still need that stashed cash in retirement. In fact, it's so important that 6 months probably won't cut it. The goal is to head into retirement with 1 to 2 years of cash savings in your overall portfolio as a buffer in times of market volatility, says Waters. Building up those reserves won't happen overnight, so make it a top priority now. When you have 5 years to go, crunch the numbers. Fidelity Investments recommends having 10 times your annual income in retirement savings by age 67. Another rule of thumb, which Waters recommends, is to mock up your ideal retirement annual income, then divide that number by 0.0375. So $50,000 in annual income would require at least $1 million. These calculations can be scary, especially if you fall short, she says. But it's better to know now rather than after you send out invites for your retirement party, whether you should double down on your savings or plan to work a few more years. Also, keep in mind that age can play a big factor in Social Security benefits, and your full retirement age might not be the same as your spouse's or colleagues. Claim benefits before you hit that target, and your benefit checks could be up to 30% smaller permanently. To calculate your benefits and when you'll hit full retirement age, head to ssa.gov. From Family Circle. Health news. These are some littles that are kind of interesting and some things you'll want to know for sure. 5% when college students are allowed to use their phones for non-academic purposes during lectures, they score 5% lower on final exams, going from, say, a B to a B minus. When no amount of mom-splaining about the perils of tech distractions resonates with your kid, maybe pointing to a potential hit to their GPA will. and log off. Unplugging might be easier when you have a financial incentive. With Lilspace, that's L-I-L-S-P-A-C-E, a free app, spending time offline earns you points, which you can redeem for store discounts or charitable donations, available on Android and iOS. Bone Deep. We often hear about the heart health benefits of eating a Mediterranean diet. New research shows it may also reduce bone loss in people with osteoporosis. Digital docs. Nearly two-thirds of millennials think it's acceptable to ask their MD about health issues through social media, according to an American Osteopathic Association survey. While your dermatologist might not want you to DM them a picture of your rash on Facebook, plenty of telemedicine apps and sites do. Before you go digital, consider these pros and cons from Ingrid Zimmer-Galler, MD, Associate Professor and Executive Clinical Director of the Johns Hopkins Office of Telemedicine. The benefits? Consultations are easy to fit into your schedule, and you'll save on travel time for matters such as sinus symptoms, rashes, and urinary concerns. Real-time video can be used to help manage some mental health issues, especially when there's a shortage of therapists nearby. Doctors can monitor the vital signs of chronically ill patients, often via wearable devices, and care is much more accessible for people with mobility issues. On the con or drawback side, it's not a good option for urgent problems such as chest pain, fainting, unstable vital signs, heavy bleeding, and trauma. Not all medical insurance plans cover virtual consultations, so check that yours does beforehand. You might not be able to consult with your usual doctor, and video conferencing requires a smartphone, tablet, or computer, and a strong cellular or Wi-Fi connection. Continuing on with the health news, three facts about disposable heat packs. One, they're like mini science experiments. Heat packs work by exothermic reactions, read heat producing, that occur when oxygen goes through their outer fabric and touches iron powder inside. The iron turns to rust, a process that creates heat. Two, because of this, they can cause burns, so be careful. The more oxygen that enters the packets, the hotter they get. With maximum oxygen exposure, the packets can reach nearly 165 degrees, so it's best to place them in mittens or boots to minimize ventilation and maintain a lower temperature. Keep socks or glove liners between your skin and the packet to avoid direct contact. And three, they shouldn't get wet. Exposing them to water will stop the oxidation process, like pouring water on a flame, so be sure to keep them dry. Then the 411 on being hangry. That means a combination of hungry and angry. It's a real thing. Previous studies have linked low blood sugar to aggression, but researchers at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, recently dug deeper into the psychology behind the state of being hungry plus angry. It's situation-dependent. Hunger is most likely to shapeshift into unpleasant emotions when we're in a negative situation, says Jennifer McCormick, MA, lead author of the study. For instance, if your commute is stressful, hunger may exacerbate your frustration. But if you're hungry during a pleasant ride home, you probably won't arrive there hangry. And it can be controlled. We also found that when hungry people take the time to think about their emotions, they don't get as hangry as emotionally unaware hungry people, adds McCormick. The next time you feel yourself starting to get upset about something, take a step back to identify the root cause. This awareness could stop hunger in its tracks. And last, 10 years. That's how long women with metastatic breast cancer, the most advanced form of the disease, are living after their diagnoses. Research shows survival rates have been on the rise, especially for younger women, thanks in part to better imaging techniques and improved treatments. That's great news. From Real Simple, expand your world from your own backyard. Travel feels great because it exposes you to new people and experiences, but you don't need to wait until your next trip to experience a new-to-you culture. Here's how to connect wherever you live. 1. Think global, eat local. At the 7th Street Community Garden in Louisville, Kentucky, immigrants and refugees plant crops beside longtime residents, sharing knowledge. If you're part of a community garden, talk to organizers about reserving plots for newcomers. The International Rescue Committee's New Roots program can connect refugees to gardens. 2. Learn about another religion. Local interfaith organizations like Interfaith Partners of South Carolina promote cooperation among religious groups, running a variety of programs, including visitor days at mosques, temples, synagogues, and churches. IPSC board member Holly Emore also recommends visiting a house of worship on your own. Just reach out to people and introduce yourself. Next, cook together. Cooking classes led by immigrants and refugees are emerging all over the U.S. in cities large and small. From the League of Kitchens in New York City and Los Angeles to the Welcome Neighbor STL Supper Club in St. Louis, you can taste Afghan meat dumplings, called mantu, Argentine empanadas, and more as you get to know folks from those countries through something we all share, an appetite. Next, dine with a future leader. Since 1940, the U.S. Department of State has selected emerging world leaders, 500 have gone on to become heads of government, to meet American professionals through the International Visitor Leadership Program. A meal with an American family is an essential component, and hosts often get hooked. Over the past 10 years, Connie Miller of Seattle has hosted more than 150 people, among them female entrepreneurs from all over Africa, Japanese bankers, and a doctor from the Pakistan-Afghanistan border. Sign up to host through World Learning or the Global Ties U.S. Network. 5. Seek new music. Look for concerts in intimate interactive spaces. Libraries, yoga studios, churches, and festivals, suggests Sabrina Lynn Motley, director of the Smithsonian Folklife Festival. If there's a language barrier, she asks, listen to a rhythm or a melody that draws you. You may not know the words, but you can often understand the emotion. Next, get an old-school pen pal. When she was 13, Joy Catania of Erie, PA, answered an ad for a pen pal. For years, she and Shantaram Damali of Kadus, India, exchanged letters, sharing everyday experiences and historical events of their time. One of the most poignant letters I wrote was about the assassination of Martin Luther King, Jr., she remembers. Catania, 65, and Damali, 67, stay in touch via email and text now, but she recommends the tactile experience of a letter. Find your own pen pal through Pen Pal World or Global Pen Friends. Well, that sounds easy and fun. Next, help a newcomer. Mentoring an immigrant family can involve helping them move, taking them to the post office, enrolling kids in school, and practicing English. When I came to this country and didn't speak the language, my mentor was instrumental, remembers Fatima Said, now executive director of Project Fine, focus on integrating newcomers through education, a nonprofit in Winona, Minnesota. Welcoming America's network of partners and nonprofits is a great place to start looking for a mentoring organization where you live. 8. Where are we at here? 8. It's a portal. Head to the library. It's a portal to other worlds. Check out a reading by an international author. Borrow a foreign film. See an exhibition. Join a language practice group or just people watch. You'll see all different cultures, says Marcellus Turner, executive director and chief librarian at the Seattle Public Library. It's one of the last democratic institutions where people can have access for free. 9. Host an international traveler. Sign up for Service, an international hospitality social network founded in 1949 that pairs travelers worldwide, a majority are from Asia, Europe, and North America, with volunteer hosts. Its founder envisioned it building cross-cultural understanding and peace. A typical stay is 2 nights, but you can also opt to be a day host and meet a traveler for a few hours. For other homestay opportunities, try the International Center at your local university. And last, build your own bridge. Many cross-cultural opportunities don't exist yet, so look around. All of us are sitting at different tables, whether it's as a parent in the PTA or somebody in a condo association, says Perrick. There's always a space to be thoughtful about who's showing up Ask, am I doing things that make sure different voices are heard? And we'll move on now to some food items for you. First, from Good Housekeeping, it's citrus season. These beloved fruits will add zest to any dish and give you a dose of immune-protecting vitamin C. First, lime. This is best squeezed over seared or broiled beef and chicken. Then pink grapefruit. Sprinkle with sugar and broil until it caramelizes. Heat helps bring out the sweetness. Red grapefruit is naturally sweeter than the pink variety and can be diced as a relish for fish or shrimp. Blood oranges, perfectly paired with spinach salad or in fun cocktails like palomas, margaritas, and winter spritzes. And last, those little clementine oranges. Dip pieces in chocolate and freeze for a chilly winter dessert. Also from Good Housekeeping, just a little flashback. Before the FDA, there was the Good Housekeeping Institute. For over a century, we've been ahead of the curve, reporting on the potential dangers of sugar, decades before the groundbreaking cover story in the New York Times Magazine, and banning cigarette ads 12 years sooner than the Surgeon General's warning appeared on cigarette packs. We continue to test products rigorously so you can make the best decisions for your family. From Family Circle, ball of energy, snacking. Need an afternoon pick-me-up? Don't reach for coffee. Roll with one of these instead. The best part is you can make them ahead. They'll keep for up to 2 weeks in the fridge or up to 3 months in the freezer. There are two different kinds of balls that you can make. A PB cup, that's peanut butter cup. You soak 5 pitted dates in hot water for 5 minutes. Add to a mini chopper, along with 2 tablespoons of the soaking liquid and puree. Transfer to a bowl, then add 3/4 cup old-fashioned oats, 1/2 cup of peanut butter, 1/2 cup mini chocolate chips, 1/3 cup peanut butter powder, and 1/4 teaspoon salt. Stir to combine, adding more oats if the mixture is very sticky. Wrap and refrigerate for 30 minutes, then form into balls 1 tablespoon each. Roll the balls in more peanut butter powder to coat. Makes about 20. The other, cocoa coconut almond. In a large bowl, stir 2/3 cup chunky almond butter, 1/2 cup dark chocolate chips, 1/2 cup old-fashioned oats, 1/2 cup finely shredded coconut, 1/4 cup cocoa powder, 2 tablespoons agave syrup, 1/2 teaspoon almond or coconut extract, and 1/4 teaspoon salt. Continue mixing ingredients until dough comes together. Wrap and refrigerate 30 minutes. Form into those 1 tablespoon balls. Roll the balls in more finely shredded coconut to coat. Makes about 20. For the cocoa almond bars, a pair of thin vinyl or latex gloves will help the dough stick to itself and not your hands. You may need to compress all doughs so that the balls will hold together. So you have to push on them a little bit to get them to hold their shape. Then we have from Family Circle, empower their inner chef. Teach your teens to make these meals so they don't starve. Oh, the drama. If you're held up at work. First, 1 pot mac and cheese. Combine 1 can evaporated milk, 1/2 cup of water, 1 cup elbow macaroni, 1 tablespoon of butter, and 1/4 teaspoon salt. In a medium saucepan, heat until liquid's absorbed, stirring often, 8 minutes. Stir in 3 slices of American cheese torn into small pieces and 2 tablespoons cream cheese. Season with pepper. That sounds easy enough for a teen to handle. Next, breakfast burritos for dinner. Whisk 2 eggs with 2 tablespoons water and 1/8 teaspoon salt. Cook 2 minutes in a nonstick skillet or microwave for 1 minute. Transfer to a large flour tortilla and top with a spoonful of salsa and a dollop of sour cream. Roll up to enclose the filling. And the last one, quesadillas. You need shredded cheddar plus canned black beans plus tortillas. These come together quickly in the microwave. Or try this method from Erica in Tulsa, Oklahoma. My kids make quesadillas using the flat sides of our reversible waffle maker. Other combos, deli ham plus Swiss cheese, or for the teen, rotisserie chicken plus pepper jack cheese plus corn tortillas instead of the flour tortillas. All those sound nice and easy. From Real Simple, buckwheat, almond, and coconut granola. Buckwheat provides even more antioxidants than oats and may help reduce blood pressure and lower the risk of certain types of cancer. It's also high in minerals like heart-healthy magnesium, which has been shown to improve sleep. Active time, 10 minutes. Total time, 1 hour and 5 minutes. Makes 5 cups. Here's what you need. 1.5 cups buckwheat groats. That's G-R-O-A-T-S. Sounds similar to oats. 1.5 cups old-fashioned rolled oats. 1 cup sliced almonds. 3 tablespoons pure maple syrup. 2 tablespoons olive oil. 1 tablespoon virgin coconut oil, melted. 2 teaspoons pure vanilla extract. 1 teaspoon fennel seeds. 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. And 1 cup of unsweetened flaked coconut. Preheat your oven to 325. Stir together buckwheat, oats, almonds, maple syrup, olive oil, coconut oil, vanilla, fennel seeds, and salt in a large bowl. Spread in an even layer on the baking sheet. Bake until golden, about 20 minutes. Remove from oven and stir in flaked coconut. Return to the oven and bake until deeply golden, 10 to 15 minutes. Let cool. Store in an airtight container at room temperature for up to a month. From Family Circle, breakfast, less is more. Treat your kids like adults, not guests. Encourage teens to add their preferred cereals and grab-and-go options to the grocery list so they can fend for themselves, but be firm. This doesn't mean a food free-for-all. Have 2 choices instead of 10. No one needs 15 cereal boxes in their cabinet, says Hagmar. A couple of quick-fixed breakfasts that teens and their parents can make for themselves? Well, PB Pancake Sandwich. Heat 2 frozen oatmeal pancakes and spread with crunchy peanut butter. Top with 2 to 3 slices pre-cooked bacon and sandwich together. To make it an Elvis special, add slices of banana. And quick fix avocado toast. This is the 5-minute version. Spread 1/2 a mashed avocado on a slice of multigrain toast. Top with 1 sliced hard-boiled egg. We like to buy these pre-cooked and peeled. And sprinkle with salt, pepper, and hot sauce. The 2-minute version, spread pre-made guacamole on a slice of multigrain toast and add hot sauce to taste. From Family Circle, 9 Perfect Strangers. This is a book they're recommending that you read. It's by Leanne Moriarty, M-O-R-I-A-R-T-Y, and the first name L-I-A-N-E. A broken heart, a bulging waistline, a floundering career. These are a few of the reasons 9 people find themselves at Tranquillium House, a wellness resort. They have 1 thing in common, though, a goal of transforming their lives in 10 days. As the magnetic and mysterious director uncovers their secrets, the guests confront their individual fears in ways they never expected. This latest work from the author of Big Little Lies makes us cower, laugh, reflect, cry, and fall in love right alongside the characters. We've run out of time for this broadcast. Readily available, though, as a podcast after the broadcast on the website. So long until next time, and if you have comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138.